very good afternoon to you all from the UK. This is Sue Hadfield, welcoming you to the May edition of What's Cooking. And firstly, apologies for there being no new show last month, but unfortunately, circumstances meant that I needed to take a break, but it really is good to be back with you all once again. Well, we have a full-packed programme today, so let's ask, what's cooking? Today we're going to be talking about and cooking Salisbury steak, and very shortly I'll be handing you over to Wally, who is in the kitchen this month. But what is Salisbury steak? Well, the original Salisbury steak, it would seem, was simply plain cooked hamburger. And this was invented in the 1880s by a physician of the name of Dr. James H. Salisbury. Surprise, surprise. Now, there seems to be some discrepancy as to whether he was British or American. But either way, Dr. Salisbury advocated that eating plain cooked hamburger three times a day, as well as drinking large glasses of very hot water, would cure almost any disease. Salisbury steak is, of course, a very popular dish in the US, where it's traditionally served with mashed potatoes and gravy, or noodles. But it's a very versatile recipe, and as I discovered, also very popular in other countries throughout the world. Hambagu steak is a popular Salisbury steak dish in Japan, made with ground meat, chopped onion, egg, breadcrumbs, and flavoured with various spices, then flattened into a circle about a centimetre thick and 10 to 15 centimetres in diameter. Many Japanese restaurants specialise in various styles of this dish, including hambagu topped with cheese, hambagu with Japanese curry, and Italian hambagu, served with tomato sauce rather than gravy. In Hawaii, hamburger steak is very similar to the Japanese hambagu, and it consists of burger patty with brown gravy, and is usually served with macaroni salad and rice as a plate lunch. There's also a variety made with egg, which is called lokomoko. Cutlet is a staple of Russian cuisine, and this is essentially Salisbury steak, the difference being that a mixture of pork and beef is used, or just pork. The meat is seasoned with salt and pepper, then mixed with chopped onion, a binder of egg and breadcrumbs soaked in milk, is shaped into oval patties, lightly breaded, and then shallow fried in about an inch of vegetable oil. The Salisbury steak recipe we are going to cook today was sent in by Lee Storm, and is again slightly different to those I have already mentioned. We've also added in our own bits and pieces. So I'll now hand you over to Wally, who is ready and waiting in the kitchen, and
this is what you do.
So here I am in the coveted kitchen of the backup crew, and I am going to knock up or put together or create for you this masterpiece, which is turkey steak, or Salisbury steak, I think it is, isn't it? Right, so what I've got in front of me is a big Pyrex dish, about a pound of minced turkey, some mashed potato, some diced onion and some sweet corn, and a tin of cream of chicken soup. Now, I'm doing this in real time, so this is how long it actually takes me to do this. So, I'm putting the turkey into the dish, and I'm removing the bit of paper that they put on the bottom of the tray for some reason. Don't know why. But then I'm going to spread out the turkey on the base of the bowl, like so. Then I'm going to give my hands a quick wipe. Okay. And I'm going to nip across the kitchen and grab some seasoning, which I forgot to mention earlier. Right, so I'll grab these and we'll put some into the dish with the meat. Just a sprinkling of salt, nothing terribly heavy, like so. Now this is the good bit, pepper. Loads and loads and loads and loads of pepper, because we love it. So I'm just doing this very quickly. Makes you out of breath, it's like weightlifting. Well, all right, perhaps not quite. Okay, I'm just making sure I'm putting plenty in. It jams up sometimes, this thing, but we'll manage. Hopefully it'll free itself up. There we go. That's it, that's better. Getting some pepper now. Okay, so that's salt and pepper. Put those out the way. Next, I'm going to put in the onion, and I've got a bag of frozen diced onion here, and I'm just going to sprinkle some on, and rather than weigh it out, I'm going to just guess it manually, like a nice little bit of onion. So it's about two good handfuls, really. So that's that. There are sweet corn. I'm going to chuck this in with the mix. We did cook it separately before, but we decided it would be equally as good just to throw it all in the dish and mix it all up that way. So a couple of handfuls of sweet corn. Now I'm going to press it all into the meat, effectively mixing it all up. You can hear that crunching away. Smells good already, as the backup crew would say. Right, so there we are. So that's the sweet corn and onion into the minced turkey, or ground turkey, I think you would call it in the States. Right, now I am going to pop on the oven, and that can be warming up while I'm carrying on. Right, now I'm going to open this here tin of soup, chicken, cream of chicken soup, and hopefully we will be able to do that. Electric tin opener, all mod cons here, you know. The backup crew insists on it. There we go. Take that down there, take the lid off carefully, switch off the mains, put the lid somewhere safe because it's got sharp edges. Bring the tin of soup over to the bowl. I'm using about, I can't remember what it is, it's not a large tin of chicken soup. It's about 200 and some odd grams. It's not the big 400 gram one, because we found that was too much liquid and it made everything a little on the soggy side. I just need to scrape my fingers off now, because it's a bit thick, this, and I find I have to scoop it out of the tin with my fingers, and of course I get all messed up then. Okay, in the dish I've now got the turkey, the onion, the sweet corn, the chicken soup, salt and pepper, a little bit of seasoning, and I'm now going to add the mash. And I have it here, and I'm just going to put that on the top, like so, and just use my fingers to spread it out, just like so. All nice and gooey. Backup crew will be proud of me. Okay, so basically that's it. That's how you put it together. Salisbury steak. It's now ready to go into the oven. My oven is on. I'm just waiting for it to heat up. I'm then going to put in for 20 minutes. And then I'm going to take it out of the oven. I'm going to put on some cheese, put it back in for another 25 minutes actually. Oven temperature, I've got mine at 160°C. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit, because I'm not as clever as the backup crew. But while I'm telling you this, I'm just sealing the bag of sweet corn. We have gadget in the kitchen here which allows us to seal plastic bags. It heats them up and seals them properly so that when we put things in the freezer again, we don't have sweet corn everywhere or little bits of onion. So I just lay it on top of the front of there, put the lid down, press both sides down on the bag sealer, and it will seal the bag, and it gives a little click like that when it's done. So that's that. Right, that's the Salisbury steak, and I will be along in a moment for the cheese topping. So the Salisbury steak has been in the oven now for 20 minutes. The timer has gone off, and I'm just going to dig it out the oven, put on my oven gauntlets, open the oven, put it up on the worktop. There we are. Push the shelf in, shut the oven, and take my gloves off. Right. Now, I have cut myself a nice piece of cheese. We use a cheese over here called Cathedral City, and we love it. We think it goes well for cooking. Now, obviously this is going to take me a little bit of time to grate, so I'm just going to start it and then I'll stop the recording and come back to you when I'm finished. But I'm using a hand grater, same one that the backup crew uses in previous recipes, and I'm just chopping the cheese, well, grating it, fairly large grates, because it doesn't really matter. This is going back in the oven and it will all melt anyway, so it doesn't really matter, but it allows me to spread it out over the top of the mashed potato and get a nice even coating of cheese and plenty of it. Oh, okay, and there we go. Just going to stop the recording and I shall come back when I've finished grating my cheese. I'm just coming towards the end of the cheese now. Grate the last bit. Careful not to take my fingers off with it. There. And make sure I get it all out, because there's nothing worse than wasting good cheese. Whoa. There we are. Now, I'm going to spread this out over the top of the mashed potato with my hands, like so. And it's very hard, you know, not to be tempted into pinching a bit and eating it. Because I really do like my cheese. The backup crew's the same. And it's really hard. I think I'd better get this back in the oven and take the temptation away. I'm just checking round the dish on the worktop for any stray bits of cheese, because if I don't put them in the dish, I know what'll happen. After it's back in the oven, I'll find them and end up nibbling. There we are. So, back on go the gauntlets. There's one. And these are very nice. They come more or less up to your elbows, so if you touch a shelf accidentally when reaching into the oven, you still don't burn yourself. Open the oven, grab me dish, and we pop it back in, shut the oven, and I'm going to walk across the kitchen now and set a timer for 25 minutes.
Timer only 10, 20, 25 minutes.
And there we go. When the 25 minutes is up, we need to take it out the oven, let it rest for maybe 10 minutes, then serve and enjoy. That's Salisbury steak.
So here I am back in the studio, and with me I have the master chef himself. And sounds like you really enjoyed putting that recipe together.
Oh, yo, I got the bit between my teeth now. Toasted sandwiches tomorrow.
My goodness me.
I've been practicing today.
Whatever next? Whatever next? But, you know, it's not always been like that for you, has it?
No.
I mean, obviously, you've always eaten food.
Yes, ever since I was a baby, funny enough.
Surely not. Yeah. Surely not. But as far as actually cooking is concerned, I mean, when I first met you, you were a self-confessed and you called yourself a burger and chips man. Did you not?
I did, and I was, and I sometimes wish I still was, but...
Surely not.
Well, you've kind of weaned me off of it.
Mm-hmm. No bad thing, no bad thing.
Well, for you, maybe. But, I mean, sometimes I wonder. I just love, once in a while, to go back to the good old days, you know.
But were they the good old days?
For me, they were.
Well, yeah, but you see, then it was burger and chips, sausage and chips, bits and pieces. You know, I mean, were they really the good old days? Don't you feel now that you've learnt a bit more?
In my heart of hearts, I know that was not really the best thing to eat as a diet. However, as a young man living on my own, you know, I suppose it was the freedom to choose what I wanted to eat and not be told what I was having. Rebellion, is it, I suppose?
Is that how you feel these days? I mean, are you told these days what you're having? I don't think you are.
No, I think it's different when you get older. You tend to sort of view it more as having been educated.
And do you think a lot more sort of adventurous meals?
Well, I'm certainly a bit more willing to try different things now than I used to be.
And it surprises me that you weren't willing to try, because your mum, being German, surely she must have cooked some, you know, really delicious meals for you and all sorts of different types of meals. So either she didn't, or she did and you didn't enjoy them. German dumplings, that sort of thing.
Oh, no, no.
German stews and soups and that sort of thing,
No. And that was mainly because my dad wouldn't have it.
Right.
My father was English and my mother was German, and dad just wouldn't eat German cooking. So mum had to adapt for him, and, of course, us kids followed along because she didn't want to do separate meals.
Now, talk to us about curry, because when I first met you, you wouldn't touch curry.
Oh, how long have you got?
Any type, shape or form.
Oh, right, okay.
You just wouldn't.
No, anything spicy, absolute no. Mm. Even when I was a sausage, burger and chips man and pizza, it was plain stuff. There was no spice, no herbs, nothing. Mm. It was just the basics. Mm. And then along came you into my life, and we started very gently, didn't we, with a kind of supermarket-bought curry, which was hardly spicy
actually,
at all.
No.
I thought we did.
No, that's not actually how we started.
How did we start?
I think we were going on holiday somewhere.
Oh, gosh, yes, hotel. And I had a curry for supper, didn't I?
You did. You had a korma.
Yeah, that was a mild one.
You know, I fancied a korma, and I said, well, why don't you try it? Now, the only concern I had was that it had coconut in it. That you weren't that keen
yes,
on
I
coconut.
Wasn't, I wasn't a fan of coconut then. But again, you see, another change there, because now I'm quite happy with it.
Mm. But at the time I said to you, well, yes, it's got coconut in it, but it's very mild.
Mm.
And you bit the bullet and you tried it. Mm-hmm. And you haven't looked back since, have you?
Oh, I haven't, no. I moved quite swiftly forward in the curry field, and I went from a korma to a madras through to a vindaloo. But then I had a bit of a do, didn't I, with my stomach, and had to cut back from a vindaloo to a madras.
Mm.
But yes, I absolutely love spicy food.
Yeah.
It could be curry, it could be spicy chicken, as long as it's really spicy and tangy.
And that, yeah, and you know, listeners, that really is such a change.
It's an absolute turnaround.
you know, if you'd known Wally like I do, and when I first met him, he just did Spice. He just did not.
No,
he didn't. Want to know.
He did not.
In no sense of the word.
No,
I
didn't.
He just didn't want to know. And I was quite disappointed because I've always liked spicy food.
And there have been odd occasions where you've thought that I've gone too far with the spices.
Well, yeah, there have actually. you've enjoyed the spices more than I have. But to begin with, I was very disappointed that you didn't like spicy food. But, you know, I was happy to sort of live with it and think, well, maybe I can educate him. Maybe I can sort of bring him onto spicy food. And I'm so glad that I did.
Yes, I think you could say that's a success.
But what about cooking? I mean, obviously, when it was the burger and chips, it was the deep fat fryer or whatever, and it was the pizza in the oven when you were sort of by yourself.
Yeah.
How do you feel you've moved on from that in past years? Cooking rather than sort of eating wise.
Yeah, I mean, cooking wise, I mean, I think I'm a bit of a dab hand with joints and meat.
Mm, yeah, I would agree with that.
That seems to be my kind of strength. I'm not too clever with things like baking cakes.
Mm. If I'm out at work and Wally is home, he likes us to discuss what we're going to have for the main evening meal. Mm-hmm. You'd rather have an idea of what you're going to cook than just surprise me.
Absolutely. I'm very much better with definite instructions. Now, whether it be you and I deciding, okay, tonight we're having X, Y and Z, or if I'm doing a recipe, having precise instructions on what I'm supposed to do, I can't do it out the top of my head. I'm absolutely hopeless at that. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, yourself, you can just sort of say, all right, okay, we're having so-and-so and so-and-so, and off you go. Mm-hmm. No reference to anything. Mm-hmm. You just do it. Mm-hmm. Now, I need to know what I'm doing, where everything is, and that's just me. You know, that's the way I do it. But once I've got that, I'm fine.
Yeah, you're well away.
Yeah.
So what would you say, then, is your favourite food to cook?
Oh, everything. As long as I can eat it, it's good.
but would you say, because it's quick and easy, it is something like the Salisbury steak? Or would you say, because you are good at with joints of meat, that your favourite thing to cook is a joint of meat and a roast dinner? Or would you say it's something else entirely?
One is meatloaf with onion gravy.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these get served with roast potatoes, a vegetable, and often Yorkshire puddings. The second one is, when we can get hold of it, we can get hold of from the supermarket, like a turkey joint, but it's got stuffing in the centre of it. And when we can get those, I love that.
Mm.
But I think my all-time favourite has to be a good gammon joint.
Yeah, you like your gammon,
gammon
don't you?
Joint with roast potatoes, sweet corn, Yorkshire puddings, onion rings. Yes, thank you.
And for those of you who may be not sure what a gammon joint is, certainly in the US, I think these are referred to as ham pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So Wally does like his ham.
Oh, yes.
His gammon. And so you'd say that was your...
I think that at the moment is one of my favourites. If I had to have a favourite meal which is perhaps a little less healthy, then it's got to be the curry.
Right. But you have one that's, well, I would say, in some ways less healthy than that. Go on, tell them about your favourite pasta dish. It's disgusting.
Oh, that one.
It's awful, but you like it, so
I
let,
do.
Let's...
Well, I do like it, but I can't remember the last time I was allowed to have it.
What do you mean allowed?
Well,
I think it's more the last time that you...
I think your comment about it's disgusting says
well,
it all.
It certainly is, but at least I don't have to heat
what
to
it.
Eat.
What it is you get some portion of spaghetti to suit your appetite, and you make that up in a saucepan with a bit of salt water. You boil it in salt water. When it's done, you drain it. You put it on a plate. Into the saucepan, you put some butter or, you know, margarine of some sort. You melt it on the heat. You then pour that over the top of the spaghetti. You then grate cheese on top of that. And then, just as something to help it along, you put a nice helping of tomato ketchup or tomato sauce on the top of the whole thing. Oh. And then you sit down and you eat it.
Oh, my goodness. You heard it here first. Listeners, you heard it here.
Try it. Come on, write to her and you tell me whether you like it or not. Go on.
I can think of someone who is not going to like that at all. It seems pretty clear that from sort of eating basic food, burger, chips, pizzas, sausages, that sort of thing, perhaps not particularly liking school dinners and things like that, which lots of people didn't, but I have to say when I was at school, we had some of the best meals I've ever eaten, but that's for another time. Anyway, from eating the basic bits and pieces, you have moved on a lot and you seem to enjoy your food a lot more, and you are prepared to be more experimental with your food, more experimental with your cooking, more adventurous, would you say?
Oh, yes, indeed. But there is a certain element of having to adapt. Otherwise, I could have starved.
I don't think that was ever a possibility for you.
Yes, because you wouldn't let me carry on the way I was.
But it is nice to see. It's really nice to see the changes. And obviously, you know, I've had to change too in some respects. You do. When you sort of get together with someone, you each have to change in various respects, and food has been sort of interesting for the past few years, to say the least, for both of us, which is great, don't you think?
Indeed.
Yeah, that's excellent. Well, here's to more years of happy eating and happy cooking.
And drinking.
Indeed. If you'd like to contact the programme with feedback or questions, maybe you have recipe ideas you'd like to share, or perhaps you'd like to share your own cooking experiences with other listeners, you can do so by emailing cooking@theglobalvoice.info. That's C-O-O-K-I-N at theglobalvoice.info. And do remember, this show is not just for the experienced cook. I want to hear from you whether you've been cooking for years, months, weeks, days, hours, minutes, or even seconds. Yes, I really do. We all have different ideas on how things should be done. And you never know, your idea might just help someone else. I've certainly learned a great deal in the time I've been presenting this show. So do get in touch. I'd love to hear from you. To download or to listen to this show again, go to theglobalvoice.info/gallery, where you can also find archives of all What's Cooking shows. You can also visit incx.org/What's Cooking, where you can download our podcast and or browse through our recipe pages. And just to remind you that the Salisbury steak recipe that was cooked today will be on our website very shortly. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this month. I do hope you've enjoyed the show today and that you'll join me next time. Until then, look after yourselves and each other. And as always, happy cooking!